We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, as it's always a pleasure to say hello to Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com as he joins us for this hour of the show. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm good. Omaha, John Wilkerson. How are you, buddy?
Doing quite well, and that's exactly where I was going to start. What did it mean to you as you were a part of covering that Tennessee baseball team that went to the College World Series for the first time since 1951 back in 95? You covered it for a good long while. You were right there along the building of the program from 93 to 94 to 95. What was it like for you as you put together a fantastic piece where you spoke with former Tennessee coach Rod Delmonico? How cool was it just to catch up with Rod?
No, it was great. I had not talked to Coach Delmonico in a long time, and he was gracious enough to spend some time on the record, and we had a great conversation off the record, telling some old stories and recounting some ball games and some moments and some things behind the scenes, and he's in a great place. He's doing well, and every question I would ask him on the record, he would answer it. He'd go, now listen, I don't want to take anything away from Tony Vitello, so make sure it doesn't sound like I'm taking anything away from Tony Vitello, because this is Tony Vitello's moment, and he deserves every bit of this moment, and I don't want it to be anything other than Tony Vitello's moment. He is extremely proud of what Tony has done here at Tennessee, and he's extremely proud to see this program return to prominence that he had put, as he said, really birthed the program. No offense to anybody before him, but the tradition was 51, really. The 1951 team was kind of the tradition before Delmonico got here and or got there, and obviously he did a great job for a long period of time, and it was fun to catch up with him, John.
Well, one of the things I've enjoyed most about what they did in 19 and getting back to the NCAA tournament and what they're doing right now, which is a first ever hosting a super regional, winning the Eastern Division for the first time since 97, is that it highlights for many that weren't around for the exploits and the incredible time and fun that was Tennessee baseball from the early 90s into the mid-2000s. You're talking about 699 wins for Rod Delmonico, a couple of SEC championships, three Eastern Division tournament titles, and three College World Series trips. It really was a fun time, and I think this shines a spotlight, and it makes those teams and their players very proud to see the team competing the way it is right now.
Well, and you know, you look at that 95 team, and of course they had a superstar in Todd Helton, and then R.A. Dickey was obviously a really good player as well. And they had good players on that team. But the attitude of the 95 team reminds me a bit of this team's attitude. That team, John, just didn't take anything off anybody. They knew they were good. They weren't going to back down from anybody. They were classy. They were respectful. But you weren't going to one-up them or bully them, or you weren't going to show them up on any way, shape, or form. And this team obviously has that mindset and thrives off that kind of chip-on-shoulder type deal. So there's some similarities between the mentalities, I think, really, of that 95 team and this team as well.
Brent, in regard to Danny White meeting with the media yesterday, he talked about a number of renovations at Neyland Stadium, and we've seen some of the renderings of that. I tell you what, that face look, on the surface, it looks like that's going to really be some nice additions to Neyland, although we're not sure what that's going to do to the capacity, are we? I'm not sure about that. Are you?
No, I mean, obviously they're going to, you know, some season tickets or season ticket holders are going to be moved, you know, and have options to go to other seats or in that area, they'll have an option to get a seat in the new club areas or the what he called a sports bar area there below the Jumbotron on the north end, and certainly in that club seat in the lower bowl. And so those options are going to be there. But yeah, I mean, they're going to obviously reduce some seating, you know, in some capacity. We'll see what those numbers end up ultimately looking like. I don't think they know right now. Because that's, you know, that's a very, I don't want to say primitive rendering, but, you know, I think some of the specs on those things have to continue to be ironed out and continue to be drawn out exactly what that's going to look like and exactly what the finished product's going to look like. But, you know, that's just the start, Jimmy, of what they hope to do and what every athletic director that's been here the last 15, 20 years has hoped to do, and that is to give a major renovation to what's now a 100-year-old stadium, and they want to honor the tradition, but they've got to modernize it in a lot of ways. And I think the two things they're going to do at the end of next season are certainly steps forward in modernizing that stadium.
And also, as far as the NCAA investigation, the indications are that it is still ongoing. They're still actually talking to people, which surprised me. But Danny White said there's no time frame for anything in regard to this. So this thing, knowing the NCAA, this thing could drag on for quite a while, couldn't it?
Well, I think more than the NCAA at this point, Tennessee's still investigating. Now, maybe the NCAA is still telling them that they need to talk to some more people. Maybe that's counsel that the NCAA is giving them. But Tennessee's outside counsel, is still advising Tennessee that they need to talk to more people. Tennessee is, paid for hours billed by that group the last, May and April, and they're continuing to be used right now. So I don't think it's the NCAA dragging their feet in terms of a timetable. I don't think Tennessee's, obviously they don't have anything wrapped up to get to the NCAA at this point. I think the question is, when is Tennessee going to say, we've exhausted everybody we need to talk to? And it appears that's not the case right now.
Let's get a call from Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve. Hey.
Hey, Brent, in this past recruiting class, who were the offensive line types that will probably be offensive linemen at Tennessee? How many of them were they, and who were they?
They got William Parker Griffin from out in Nashville, is probably
right.
the biggest name that jumps to mind at this point. And I'll tell you what, he's a guy who physically looks good. I'll tell you another guy who looks good, who was here a year ago, but I like the way R.J. Perry looks, Steve. I know he's not in that class, but I like the way that he looks. Can he play? I don't know. We'll see what this fall looks like for him. But, there's a tackle body that could be interesting to see. And, of course, they signed the JUCO kid, Jeremiah Crawford, from out in El Dorado, Texas. They took him late. Once this staff got here, and then Amari McNeil is another kid from down in Georgia that they took late as well. So, those are kind of the ones. I think William Parker Griffin is the most polished guy, probably the most high-end prospect. I'm really curious to see the JUCO kid, though, that Tennessee jumped in late to sign and see what he looks like.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about offensive linemen, who are some people in this class coming up at this early date that somebody Tennessee is really likes a lot?
Well, the kid they've already got a commitment from down in Florida that was a bit undersized, that everybody kind of wondered who he was. He just recently went to a mega camp down at Florida State, and he got everybody's attention down there. I think that's a guy who's going to jump up in offers, going to jump up in rankings. That looks like a really nice early evaluation by this coaching staff. And then they're going to bring in some big names. Ryan Brubaker from up in Pennsylvania is going to be in for a visit. You've got the kid from down in Georgia who's got so many ties to Tennessee. He's supposed to be up here as well, Addison Nichols. So they've got several guys there. There's a kid at Ravenwood who is a center that camped here recently. He does not have an offer at this point, but I think that's a guy who impressed, who may be a guy that ultimately ends up with an offer. We'll see what happens. The thing that Tennessee wants to do is they want to get about five kids in this class. So we'll see where else they end up going with offensive linemen. But those are some guys. They've got the Mo Clipper kid from down in Georgia. He's supposed to visit as well. So they're actually, if you look at their board in terms of high-profile players, there's probably more high-profile offensive linemen on their recruiting board right now than any other position Tennessee's recruiting.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was talking about that work on Neyland Stadium. Thing that always worries me is knocking out too many seats where it don't hold as many people. That's what I don't like about some of this stuff. But I will say when they added more restrooms, a while back. I guess that was a good thing. But anyway, well, okay, fellas. Thanks a lot, okay?
Steve, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you. And we've got more with Brent Hubbs coming up. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Let's go right back to the phones where it's Chuck who's up next. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, gang. How's it going?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Great. Hey, Brent, I called a few weeks ago asking about Walter Nolan, and at that time he didn't have us on his list, and it was all gloom and doom about him, and I understand he made a recent visit, and I'm wondering what you make out of that.
Well, I think when you look at it, here's a guy that Rodney Garner's working hard to try to see if he can get Tennessee involved there and enough to get him on campus, unofficial. The question now is, can they get him on campus for an official visit? There's certainly some realistic talk of that. Walter wants to take off his visits this month if he can. And then make a decision, I think, at the end of the summer. He does not love the process. He really doesn't. And, you know, I think he's going to take his five, if he can get them all in this month, and then work towards a decision pretty quickly. There's certainly some unknowns as to where Walter Nolan's going to play high school football. He may play his high school football in East Tennessee. That's not been decided at this point, but that's a possibility. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, Tennessee's in better shape now than they were when you called a few weeks ago about it, for sure. But there's still a long ways to go for Tennessee to be a major player there, in my opinion. I still think Clemson, I think Georgia, LSU, Alabama, I think are some of the players for Walter Nolan at this point.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We sure do appreciate it, Chuck. If you have a question or comment for Brent Hubbs, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, how beneficial do you think those three camps in 5 days Tennessee had?
Well, I think for this staff, it was important for seeing 23s and 24s. More than it was 22s. Now, there's a couple of 22, class of 22 guys that I think Tennessee has taken a liking to based on the camp. But I think for this new staff coming in, it was just, it's been more beneficial for them to try to get an early evaluation on class of 23 and the class of 24 to figure out who they like and who all they want to go see and evaluate further this fall. So it's, I think it's been beneficial. You know, for this staff, Jimmy, I don't think they could have gotten enough here. They've gotten a nice number here, but I don't think for the catch-up they're trying to play, I don't know that they could have gotten enough here. Because remember, you know, this staff's not coming from the SEC. You know, they're coming from Central Florida where, you know, they didn't recruit in the state of Tennessee. They didn't recruit much in Alabama or Georgia. I mean, they recruited some in Georgia, but, you know, they weren't recruiting a ton of SEC guys. So, I think that the more they can get here, the better off they are. Whether they get offers or not, it's a firm evaluation and a starting point for Tennessee and the assembly of those classes.
I was talking to our buddy Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution yesterday, and he was asking me about rating the Tennessee quarterback situation. And he said, because right now I've got Tennessee's quarterbacks rated last in the league. And I said, well, I said, if you wanted to take individually, I don't know who the starter's going to be. But I am confident whoever starts is going to put up better numbers than the guy at Kentucky or Vanderbilt and a couple of other schools. How do you rate the Tennessee quarterback room? Do you see it that way? Do you feel like whoever it is productive, but it's hard to figure out who it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback room is completely unknown and unproven, which is why you bring in – you know, why they brought in Joe Milton, you know, because they wanted more competition in there and they're still looking for their guy. And we'll see who emerges as their guy coming out of, you know, fall camp. But, I mean, from a productivity standpoint, I mean, if they're not more productive than a year ago and they're playing in this Josh Heupel offense, then it's going to be a disastrous fall offensively. I mean, they have to be more productive at the quarterback position than they were a year ago, just based on the style of offense they want to play. They're going to throw it more. They're going to play more up-tempo. They're going to have more snaps. I think they're absolutely going to be more productive than they were a year ago, without any question.
And my argument was more productive than Vanderbilt or Kentucky or South Carolina. At least I think that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing. I mean, I know what Josh Heupel wants to do. What Josh Heupel wants to do is a lot like what Ole Miss and Jeff Lebby want to do. There's obviously tons of similarities there. Lane Kiffin's an offensive guy, but I mean, he's had some influence from the Briles family of offense, if you will, when he was at Florida Atlantic and now certainly with Lebby at Ole Miss. And of course, Lebby and Heupel were together at Central Florida. So that's the type of offense they want to play. What Shane Beamer got, what is he going to be able to do in year one with Marcus Satterfield over there is, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be able to produce. Kentucky's going to do sounds like a 180 from what they've been doing offensively with Ed Grand for many years. Do they have the weapons to do what they want to do? The same with Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. So, yeah, Jimmy, I think when you look at the proven history of Heupel's offense when he was at Missouri, the production when he was at Central Florida, the unproven commodities that are at Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. And yeah, I would look at it and say I would expect Tennessee's offense to be more productive than those offense, without a doubt.
And your thoughts, even though to a pretty good degree unproven, do you like what Tennessee has as far as weapons, the receiving core and the running backs?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I like Jalin Hyatt. I like Velus Jones. I think this staff will use Velus Jones in much better fashion than the last staff did. I think he was underutilized a year ago. We'll see what they are at tight end. I like the Colby kid that they signed late. I thought he did some deep things. I think Callaway is going to have a nice year, Jimmy, kind of a breakout year a little bit. So I do like their weapons at receiver. And then at the running back position, I think Jabari Small is a tough, hard-nosed runner who's going to be able to be productive to a degree. I think Jalin Wright from over in Durham, North Carolina, is a perfect fit in this offense. He's a speed guy. I think you can get him in space and do some different things with them. So, yeah, I think they can be productive at the running back position, even though maybe they're not the biggest or strongest, but I think that fits well with this offensive system, which is going to be more zone stuff, some quick hitting stuff, zone read type things. That's going to be different than lining up trying to maul people like they were at times a year ago.
The program today, part of the Big Ticket, we're here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, right where Callahan meets up with I-75. So come on out, get registered. We'll have two qualifiers from today's registration. And be sure and take a look around because it's open. They're rocking and rolling with the largest Jeep and Ram inventory in all of Knoxville here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Back to the phones we go. It's Doug who joins us next. Hello, Doug.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I was listening to Rob Mundy, and I thought I heard him say we had offered a freshman down here at Baylor. Did I hear right, or what's the story about that?
They have offered a young man who will be a freshman at Baylor this fall.
Wow.
Who, last name is Sparks, is Cameron Sparks, who camped at Tennessee. He's about 6'3", 6'3 and a half, a little over 200 pounds, good-looking wide receiver. We'll see what he grows into, but he was very impressive at one of those camps that Jimmy was asking me about earlier, and quickly got an offer by the end of that camp, and he's going to have a bunch of offers around the country as he goes and sees places. He's a good-looking athlete, great size for a young man.
A ninth grader, huh?
Going to be a ninth grader. He's not. He just graduated eighth grade.
He will be a ninth grader.
Correct.
It's a different day from when we were all in high school, isn't it? All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he's not even broke it down at the team huddle when the coach says on three at the end.
Wow. Doug, we appreciate the call. If you have a question or comment for Brent Hubb, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. And Brent, as you and Jimmy were talking about camps, I don't think there's any question that the coverage at VolQuest.com right now, with everything opening back up, coaches can travel, prospects can visit, that you guys have got it all going on. So many different either profiles and or comments looking back at how visits went. But you've got it for football. You've got it for basketball. It's just across the board right now, isn't it?
It's a crazy June. I mean, we talked about it seemingly for a year, it almost feels like. But for the last several weeks, we've talked about how busy and hectic June's going to be for so many prospects out there. You got guys who are attending anywhere from 8 to 12 camps in the summertime and in the month of June, and you've got official visits going on. You got unofficial visitors. Basketball's got official visitors in town the last week and a half. It's just busy. I mean, and it's a good kind of thing. I mean, when you go over a year without any visits allowed or coaches being out allowed or anything like that, it's nice to be covering this kind of stuff, and hopefully it'll be busy this way the rest of the month, and we can continue with plenty of coverage on that side of things, because it's fun to be back in the middle of it right now and get it back to normal.
It really is, and also, I mean, for instance, we saw earlier today on the basketball side of things that B.J. Edwards tweeted out that he was on an unofficial to Tennessee today, and he also set his official for later this month. And that's really one of Tennessee's big targets.
It is, and it was big to get him on campus for an unofficial. He's just back from an event in Las Vegas participating in, an invite event there. And to have him spend some time on campus with the coaches, and then for him to be able to come back and do his official later. He was going to do his official this week, but it was going to be really hectic to try to get back from Vegas and get on that visit. And they just decided to come over and spend some time with the coaching staff on an unofficial and then do the official visit when he's a little more rested and a little more ready to go after what's been a long week for him out in Vegas at a pretty prestigious invitation deal out there that he's been a part of.
Something that also has generated headlines as well as a great amount of reaction from Tennessee fans is the news, and I know it hit very close to home as to what your game day responsibilities are. What was it like to hear that Tim Priest, who you've sat next to for more than 20 years, what was it like to hear that he had experienced his last season and now he was going to focus on watching his grandkids compete?
Well, I wasn't surprised by the news. Conversations that we know that I know how important his kids are for him, and get the opportunity to see them, his grandson play down in Georgia on Friday nights, high school football, and then granddaughter playing volleyball, and their grandkids playing in other sports. And I know how important that is for him to be a part of those kids' lives and to see them. And so I wasn't surprised by the news, John, but sad by the news. And Pat Ryan's going to do a great job, and hopefully I'll get to sit next to Pat's left, and we'll have plenty of laughs and plenty of fun. But when you sit with somebody for 22 years and 274 games, I think we worked together,
wow,
in the same seats, beside each other, you get a chemistry. Somebody. And I knew Tim to the football finals. I should say more, I knew of him. I saw him in the building, but I didn't really know him. But to get to know him on the road, dinners on Friday nights, road trips, conversations about football, conversations about, his kids, his grandkids, him asking me about my kids. Think about it. I mean, when we started, I didn't have kids, and I've got a junior in high school, So I've talked to him about 7-year-old football, coming in on a Saturday of game day, leaving John Tarleton, and he's one of the first guys I talked to about my kids' play, and talked to him about, what his granddaughter did in middle school basketball and all those things. It's just a true friendship. And then on the air, he's been the heart and soul, in my opinion, of the Ball Network broadcast. And that's not to take away from anybody else, but as I wrote in the column I wrote earlier this week, Tennessee fans learn to hang not just on his words, but to learn to hang on his groans, his exasperations, his squeals of joy. You know, you knew whether it was good or bad by the sounds that he made as much as you did the words that he said. And I think that's a great attribute that tells you how much Tennessee fans believe in him and trust in him. And he was always prepared every Saturday to do the job because of the work he put in throughout the week. He will be sorely missed. I will miss sitting next to my friend. I look forward to hanging out with Pat Ryan, but I will certainly miss and I will certainly always cherish the 22 years I got set beside him.
Brent, we were talking about B.J. Edwards a minute ago, and it's almost gotten to me in men's basketball to where it used to be a surprise if they had a top 20 recruiting class. Now it's a surprise if they don't. Do you see it that way?
Brent, you with us?
There you are, John. Sorry, Jimmy, can you repeat that? My phone dropped out for a second. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm saying that for Tennessee and men's basketball, it used to be a surprise when they had a top 20 recruiting class. Now it seems like it's a surprise if they don't have a top 20 class.
Hell, Jimmy, right now it's a surprise if they don't have a top 15 player in the country in on some kind of visit. It's amazing what this staff has done, and it's a product of the building that they did early on with signing guys who outplayed their recruiting ranking, and as a result of that, that has put them in a position where they can recruit guys with high recruiting rankings and better more talented basketball players by the ranking standpoint. I'm not going to say guys are more talented than Grant Williams. Grant Williams can play, but they are reaping and have reaped the benefits of landing a couple of guys who outplayed their recruiting rankings early on, and it's put them in a position that they can go in anybody's house right now and get a meeting and sit down with anybody. Doesn't mean they're going to get everybody, but there's not somebody in the country that they can't call and get an audience with, and that's a tribute to the success they've had on the court. That's a tribute to the success that Michael Schwartz and the staff, including the new staff that's here, have put into the relationships out there in the recruiting world.
If you want to get a question or a comment in, on the wire, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Hey, Brent, I don't know if you saw the most recent college football expansion proposal to 12 teams, where they're looking at the top six conference champion finishers and then six others at large, but there's no guarantee that any conference is going to be represented. What did you think of that?
Oh, it's all about money, right? Show me teams in. I'm a little surprised there's not more guarantees for some conferences in there. I thought they went to 12, but I think they're looking at the dollar figures of that, and with all the money out there, and I just think that this is a money grab. It's about making the most money you can make, and that's why they're going to 12.
You think COVID influenced that some, to the urgency to get this thing maybe expedited instead of waiting till after the 12-year TV contract runs out?
Yeah, I think that a little bit probably. Shared with the loss, but I still think your situation there. If you get 12 and you get going and get that established, how much more marketable are you for your next TV deal, as opposed to that TV deal and then 12? Like we already know what all that is. It probably drives ultimately will end up driving the TV bidding war up for that even more moving forward, right?
I don't think there's any question. And then while they talk about the first games being hosted on campus, I still want to see the plan, Brent, as to where exactly these games, when they take place, when they fall on the schedule. If it's the week following a conference championship game, to where perhaps if the conference champion for the SEC moves on as one of the top four seeds, does the runner-up automatically get a spot and how will everybody else react when if you have 12 teams and the Southeastern Conference gets a third of them because they can be that deep when it comes to talented teams. I just wonder what the reaction will be the first time that happens. Might be having it. Oh, go ahead, Brent.
It's right to win basketball. Four to 269 man that you got out. So you're never going to get the number right. There's always going to be people claiming bias against. For years, it was in basketball. The ACC got way too much love, way too much respect. There's certainly some fatigue with the SEC around the country with some people. But, you know, again, I want to see what it looks like. But how do you go about, because I want to know how you go about finding your best 12 team.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Cincinnati's of the world and some of those teams. I mean, they're not going to get an automatic, you know, and how does that factor in?
It does remain to be seen, and it will be interesting to see. Brent, tell folks what they'll see if they pay a visit to BallQuest.com right now.
Tons of recruiting coverage, football. See baseball as well. We've had plenty this week. Continue to have that throughout the Super Regional this weekend.
Brent, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens.